yeah. Round, I get around. Still clown with the underground when we come around. Stronger than ever. Back to get wrecked. All respect to those who break their neck to keep their hopes in check. Cause though they sweat a brother majorly. And I don't know why your girl keeps paging me. She tell me that she needs me. Cries when she leaves me. And every time she sees me, she squeezes me. Ladies, take it easy. Little late jumping in with you guys. This is John Amundson, and I want to welcome you to the next podcast in the series of podcasts presented for you by the Psychologist Association of Alberta. I'm unsure why I led in with that particular song, because it is not particularly theme-oriented to what we want to speak about today. I'm looking at two articles, and these are articles that are following in the footsteps of a lot of research that's been going on in the United States predominantly. One of the articles today, though, is in Canada. That's why I wanted to speak on it. But this research pertains to personality and political orientation and political leanings. We know that there are certain traits and dimensions in personality that can predict more fundamentalist thinking relative to political positioning, and we have to lay this research trend in many ways at the feet of Jonathan Haidt, who was the first one to look at the difference between liberals and conservatives relative to very, very specific traits. However, as this research has expanded, it has gone beyond just simply inventories, checklists and questionnaires, and it has moved into what the first article has spoken to, and that is facial recognition technology. And this article was in the American Psychologist, and you guys, you know, I've said many times there are flagship journals. There are journals that when we as professionals see something published, we should pay more attention to it. And one of those, of course, is the American Psychologist. The second one that I've spoken of many, many times is the Psych Bulletin. However, today we're going to start by a very quick review of this online first posting of what will appear in the journal in the near future. And the title of the article is Facial Recognition Technology and Human Raters Can Predict Raters Can Predict Political Orientation from Images of Expressionless Faces, Even When Controlling for Demographics and Self-Presentation. All right, so what do we mean here, okay? Well, we know that there is some evidence that facial recognition technology has been able to be validated relative to job interviews and aggressiveness related to alcohol consumption. In other words, the technology can look at the face, not another person looking at it, and make certain predictions that seem to hold up. And this latest one is about facial technology and recognizing left-right political inclination. The particulars of the research, subjects, how they conducted this imaging, how they conducted the human rating, and how they controlled for extraneous variables, for example, ethnicity, ruling out ethnicity as a predisposed tendency in a lot of us to say, well, because of that ethnicity, we're going to predict that they're more left or more right. Anyway, the main thrust of the article and what they talk about that is very, very important is this idea of we need to begin to think about what this means. What are the ramifications of this? See, widespread biometric surveillance technologies may be, and this is their words, more threatening than we have presumed. In other words, if there are technologies reading all the time and they become better and better at predicting who we are and what we're about, that the authors are concerned about the not only the invasion of privacy, but the ability to influence us and in both maybe ways as a consumer, or ways politically. So if there's a slight indication that this person may be leaning to the right, how would we seek to then influence them in pushing them either way? But nonetheless, this is based less on our statements and our positioning of ourselves relative to critical social issues than technology saying, here's what we need to do with this particular person at a particular time to get them to buy something, to get them to reject something, to get them to overly invest in a philosophical or political ideological position, and on and on and on. And that leads us to the second article. The research in the leanings left or right based upon personality dimensions has mostly come out of the United States, but recently there was an article published in the Canadian Journal of Behavioral Science entitled Personality, Political Ideology, and Partisanship in Canada. So I thought, because of the Canadian content, we ought to burrow into this one and see what they found relative to our left and right leanings here. A basis to begin this discussion, let's look at some of the generally accepted positions in the literature regarding predisposition as per demographics. So this is quoting directly from their paper that people who are older and have higher incomes tend to be more conservative and more likely to support conservative parties. Rural voters are more likely to support conservative parties than urban. On average, men tend to be more conservative than women. And do want to explain this relative to personality, but there's also evidence that that other things change. For example, older people decrease in openness, and that's one of the, I'm going to go to the five-factor model for a minute, OCEAN, openness, conscientiousness, extroversion, agreeableness, and neuroticism. And so they think that maybe as openness to experience goes down as we age, that's why people may move to more to the right of the spectrum. So these are factors that may be less related to inherent personality, but more to demographics and other changing circumstances. The measurement in these areas has predominantly been associated with the five-factor model, the one I just talked about, the OCEAN. However, for this one, they employed a different model of personality called, Hexaco, HEXACO. It's very similar in terms of certain of the traits that are part of the five factor, extroversion, conscientiousness, and openness. But it also includes larger dimensions of agreeableness and then a term, emotionality, which they have substituted for the N in the five factor model. So it retains very general aspects of the five factor, things like agreeableness, but increases the dynamics and dimensions that are associated with each of these, and deals with, as I say, instead of neuroticism, emotionality, and they add a sixth personality dimension, which is called honesty and humility. So they're looking at six factors that then they would look at for predicting political sentiment. The model, the HEXACO, has been applied in a variety of different countries looking at the same thing that they did look at in this article in Canada. And they looked at things like openness and conscientiousness. And it would be obvious that higher openness to experience puts you more to the left side of the spectrum, as does conscientiousness tends to put people over there as well. In other words, the dynamics associated with conscientiousness have to do with looking at things in a way that orders them and continually brings us to dotting I's, crossing T's approach. What they found in these other country studies was, in this particular model, the sixth dimension, honesty and humility, when they were low, associated with right-wing placement, which is really interesting. Lower in honesty and humility, the ones that are lower, they tended to favor hierarchy and status and wealth. So you can see how this would fit with right-wing versus left-wing in the conventional sense that we would probably understand it. All right, so let's take a quick look and kind of start burrowing into their data. So what they found in their analysis applying this model and this method, that again, consistent with the literature other places, men, older individuals, and higher income were, people with higher income were significantly more right on the ideological scale and consistent with expectations, lower on honesty, humility, and openness to experience. And that, again, correlated with or pointed toward a more conservative ideology. The extroversion, it turns out, was also positively related to placement on the right. All right, so continuing to burrow into their data. Again, in support of findings in other places, narcissism was related more to right-wing placement. And they thought that antisocial pathology traits, rule breaking, law violations, would more likely be related to right place, or not related to right place. They were related. So they found that this sort of rebellious, anti-social kind of posturing did support more conservative ideology, which would be entirely supportive of what we've been seeing, at least in Alberta, where even this last will, we've got, it's going on west of Calgary. There are a bunch of people camping that are opposed to Ottawa in general, but carbon tax and that kind of stuff, the border closures and the truckers acting out in Ottawa. I realize I'm just kind of so let's go to kind of a summary of the whole thing. One of the biggest takeaways in this research and in the research in general on right-left placement is openness, and that continues to be the most consistent personality trait relative to ideology and partisanship. And it has to do with self-placement on the left of the political spectrum. And so in Canada, that was also true, the NDP and the Green Party, they found them much higher on the concept of openness. And again, the negative correlation is, the lower that is, the higher to be on the right side of the spectrum. A second feature in this was that people higher in honesty and humility, they were more likely to be affiliated with left-leaning parties, which would be the New Democrats and the Greens. And there's far less support for the CPC. So these are the two most powerful traits. So being open, skeptical, and questioning and humble in one's own beliefs and one's way of seeing the world tends to put you much more on the left. Finally, conscientiousness was not related to right or left placement in any sense. It could be generalized. And this has been, as I stated a little earlier in this thing, there has been a little bit of stuff going with that relative to being on the right or left, the international studies. All right, so the body count is in, so to speak, and we do have some dynamics now for Canada, which are consistent with what we're finding, with what has been found elsewhere in the world. The biggest criticism of any of this research always has been that it is probably executed by more, I'm going to use their terms, open, agreeable sorts of people, again pointing to the left. So the data is interpreted perhaps with a bias toward those of us who find ourselves on the spectrum there. And it always comes across as being, you know, so self-congratulatory, doesn't it? You know, we pat ourselves on the back and say, look at that. We're more humble. We're more honest. We're more open. And the other part of this was they talked about diversity, sort of the openness to lots of ways to be in the world, lots of different kinds of people. So again, this is the kind of thing where we walk around and sort of say, look how wonderful we are relative to those sort of uptight, you know, less than well well-prepared individuals to be in the world as we think it should be. So that's the criticism of some of this stuff. All right, so I'm going to find a song, get us out, and we'll call it quits.
Girl, I know this might seem strange, but let me know if I'm out of order for stepping to you this way. See, I've been watching you for a while, and I just gotta let you know that I'm really feeling your style. 'Cause I had to know your name and leave you with my number, and I hope that you would call me someday. If you want, you can give me yours too, and if you don't, well, I